And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by the good folks over at The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. The title of this morning's show is an interesting one. The title is, We Are Not the Same. And in watching the reaction of the political assassination, which is exactly what it was, of Charlie Kirk, which of course, as you're well aware, unfolded last Wednesday in Utah, has really shown to me that there is a huge, massive, fundamental difference between the left and the right. And, of course, Democrats over the last 4 or 5 days have been jumping in front of cameras, have been trying to put out press releases with Republican groups, and you've got Democrat and Republican groups putting out joint statements, trying to do everything that they can to make it seem as if they're not the ones that are responsible for this kind of violence. Folks, we are not the same. We'll get into the killer. We'll get into the individual who was taken into custody on late Thursday night. That was announced on Friday. We'll get into that in a minute. But I wanted to show you a video before we started with any of this. This is at a memorial that was happening outside of the Turning Point USA headquarters, which is in Phoenix, Arizona, yesterday afternoon. As is pretty common when you've got individuals, especially very popular people that are killed, you have memorials that take place. That's nothing new. That's nothing that you've not seen before. And often, especially if they're a very prominent individual, you'll see an area lined with flowers and candles and pictures and things of that nature to memorialize that individual. And that's exactly what has happened outside the office of Turning Point USA, their global headquarters in Phoenix. So yesterday afternoon, as this memorial is ongoing, as people are putting things on the memorial, as individuals are paying their respects to Charlie Kirk, to the people at Turning Point, to Erica, his wife, this is the situation that unfolds. You have got an individual who runs through the memorial, kicking, stomping, and destroying the memorial that is set up for Charlie Kirk. He is then swiftly taken by supporters in the crowd, punched and kicked in the face. Wish they would have had a little bit more time with him. And then is swiftly arrested by law enforcement. This video, the rhetoric that I have seen on social media, that you have seen on social media over the last 4 or 5 days, could not draw a better contrast between the left and the right. Folks, we are not the same. We're not. This scumbag wearing the same shirt of the alleged assassin who pulled the trigger that killed Charlie Kirk. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not the same. There's no other way to put it. There's no other way to describe the vitriol, the hatred, the commentary that you have seen over the last couple of days without coming to the realization and wrapping your head around the notion that the left and the right, politically, morally, religiously, and socially, are not the same people. We live in the same country. We live under the same roof for all intents and purposes, but we're not the same. And we're never going to be the same. Have you ever seen a situation like the video I just showed you, where you've got a memorial taking place for a guy who was killed, assassinated, not just died, right? Didn't die in a car accident. Didn't die from a freak medical cause or anything like that. No, had his life ripped away from him at the hands of an assassin's bullet. To have somebody run through that memorial, kicking, stomping, destroying? And I'm supposed to believe that we can all just come together? I'm supposed to believe that if we just, you know, we just need to keep talking. Yeah, absolutely. Not a chance in hell. We're fundamentally different. Us on the right, we are fundamentally different than those on the left. Just look at every situation of alleged police brutality that has existed over the last 10 years. You get somebody that gets roughed up by the police, and you've got BLM, you've got Antifa, you've got all of these left-wing groups. They take to the streets, they burn, they riot, they loot, they attack law enforcement. I mean, just look at the situation in Los Angeles earlier this year when National Guard was deployed. You had left-wing agitators burning cars in the middle of the streets, attacking law enforcement. That's how the left deals with their issues. That is how the political left tries to square up their perceived political differences. That's how they handle it. One of our guys in Charlie Kirk was politically assassinated last Wednesday. What did you not see happen? There was no rioting. There was no looting. There was no burning of buildings. There was no attacking law enforcement. There was no throwing bricks through windows to steal all of the things inside of the shop. None of that happened. Because there is a fundamental difference between the right and the left. Democrats have a massive problem on their hands this morning. They have a group of individuals that are behind them that are completely out of control. They have a group of people behind them that they have completely lost control of. You've got teachers in public schools across North Carolina that are wishing on the death of more conservatives. You have got so-called educators, the professionals, right? You always have to hear from the bleeding heart liberals about how professional our teachers are. And God forbid you are critical of the school board and educators who are indoctrinating your children. These so-called professionals are in your children's classroom this morning advocating for more political violence, commenting that people like Charlie Kirk, people who are religious, people that are strong in their faith, people that are conservative, deserve to rot in hell. That is just one of the many comments from a public school teacher in the state of North Carolina. That comes courtesy of the Wake County public school system. So if you and your family happen to be conservative, happen to be somewhat strong in your faith, it is a fair conclusion to draw that if you and your child are lucky enough to have that teacher, that they believe that you deserve to rot in hell. These are the so-called professionals that Democrats want us to believe. These are the so-called educators that you're not allowed to criticize. You show up to a school board meeting to voice your concern. You show up to a school board meeting to say, I'm not really okay with this indoctrination. Oh, you're a Nazi. You're a book banner. You're a fascist. You just need to trust the professionals. Folks, we are not the same. The reaction to the death of Charlie Kirk has arguably been one of the most disturbing things that I have ever seen. People say screwed up things, and people do screwed up things all the time. I have never witnessed a situation unfold where you have got so many people on one side of the political aisle that are cheering on violence, death, and destruction. And it's why I make the point to you this morning that those on the political left, they've got a major problem at their hands. But now, of course, again, Democrats, as I noted, they're running to TV cameras. They're running to social media to put out comments and say, we do not condone political violence. Meanwhile, their supporters, meanwhile, the people behind them are cheering it on. The people behind them are hoping and wishing, and in some cases, actively pushing forth an agenda that will lead to more bloodshed of those on the political right. President Trump commented on this yesterday about some of these left-wing groups, these left-wing organizations, talking about the unbelievably vitriolic and hateful commentary that you have seen after somebody, again, didn't just die, but was killed for his beliefs, killed because of his faith, killed because of his political ideology. Of course, this is taking place on the tarmac, so the audio is a little bit tough to hear, but this is President Trump yesterday. Take a listen.
We have to be careful. When we attack people, we have to be careful.
You mentioned very hurt, sir. Organizations on the left, you anticipate investigating and talking about the
black. Well, the problem is on the left. If you look at the problem is on the left. It's not on the right, like some people like to say on the right. The problem we have is on the left. And when you look at the agitators, you look at the scum that speaks so badly of our country, the American flag burnings all over the place, that's the left. That's not the right.
Do you plan on investigating?
We'll see. We'll be announcing. They're already under investigation. You know, they're already under major investigation. A lot of the people that you would traditionally say are on the left.
They're already under
investigation? Already under investigation.
That's just a portion of President Donald Trump's comments on a tarmac yesterday, talking about how this rhetoric is on the left, and he's 100% right. And now Democrats are trying to claim, and they'll jump to, well, you know, there was two Minnesota lawmakers that were killed earlier this year. That's a fair statement. Was that an act of political violence? It absolutely was. Did you see anybody cheering on the death of those lawmakers? Did you see major news networks commenting on the death of those lawmakers and saying, yeah, no, well, they were Democrats, and Democrats don't do good things, so if you're going to be affiliated with the Democrat Party, I guess that's what you should expect. Did you see any of that commentary? No, you didn't. Did you see anybody stomping their way through memorials for those lawmakers? No, you didn't. Because there is a fundamental difference between the right and the left. We are not the same people. We're just not. We could not be further apart. The Democrat Party and their deranged followers have completely lost control. They have so much vitriol. They have so much hatred for individuals that are on the right side of the political aisle, that they will go to literally any ends to cause them death and destruction, including shooting and killing them. And that is a normal thing on the left. That is something that is being now cheered on by so-called professionals like the educators in our public school systems. If you needed any more reason to pull your kids out of public school, if you needed any more reason to find an alternative, the Opportunity Scholarship Program, homeschooling, private school, charter schools. Hopefully this is a wake-up call for more parents across the country. This is not the kind of rhetoric that your children need to see. We are not the same. The Utah governor in Spencer Cox, after announcing on Friday that a suspect is in custody, 22-year-old Tyler Robinson. He was not a student at Utah Valley University. However, he was a resident of the state, committed this heinous act. Now, innocent until proven guilty. There will be a trial. We will go through this whole process. Unlike all of these other cowards on the left, he didn't shoot and kill himself. So there will be a trial. He apparently this morning is under very close surveillance to make sure that that doesn't happen. And investigators announced on Friday that he had writings on bullet casings with phrases like, "Hey, fascist, catch," references to an Italian World War II anti-fascist song, and messages on Discord and other social media platforms talking about the animosity that he felt towards people like Charlie Kirk, like Donald Trump, and like every single Republican and conservative in America. The Utah governor handled this incredibly well at the press conference on Friday. I don't really think this got as much play as it deserves. I want to listen to a few minutes here of Spencer Cox. That's the governor of the state of Utah. I thought he had some incredibly, incredibly insightful things to say in what was a very emotional situation, continues to be a very emotional situation, and his plea to the American public as to how we go forward. Take a listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I get the microphone, so I hope you'll permit me a moment just to share a few more thoughts about where we are and how we got here and maybe a little bit of where we go from here. I don't want to get too preachy, but I think it's important that we, with eyes wide open, understand what's happening in our country today. I've heard people say, well, why are we so invested in this? There's violence happening all across our country. And violence is tragic everywhere. And every life taken is a child of God who deserves our love and respect and dignity. This is certainly about the tragic death, assassination, political assassination of Charlie Kirk. But it is also much bigger than an attack on an individual. It is an attack on all of us. It is an attack on the American experiment. It is an attack on our ideals. This cuts to the very foundation of who we are, of who we have been, and who we could be in better times. Political violence is different than any other type of violence for lots of different reasons. One, because in the very act that Charlie championed of expression, that freedom of expression that is enshrined in our founding documents, in having his life taken in that very act makes it more difficult for people to feel like they can share their ideas, that they can speak freely. We will never be able to solve all the other problems, including the violence problems that people are worried about, if we can't have a clash of ideas safely and securely. Even, especially those ideas with which you disagree. That's why this matters so much. Over the last 48 hours, I have been as angry as I have ever been, as sad as I have ever been. And it was as anger pushed me to the brink, it was actually Charlie's words that pulled me back. I'd like to share some of those. And specifically right now, if I could, I need to talk to the young people in our state, in my state, and all across the country. As President Trump reminded me, he said, you know who really loved Charlie? The youths. And he's right. Young people loved Charlie, and young people hated Charlie. And Charlie went into those places anyway. And these are the words that have helped me. Charlie said, when people stop talking, that's when you get violence. He said, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. The only way out of the labyrinth of suffering is to forgive. Welcome without judgment, love without condition, forgive without limit. He said, always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. A few months ago, I referenced this last night, Charlie posted to social media, when things are moving very fast and people are losing their minds, it's important to stay grounded. Turn off your phone, read scripture, spend time with friends, and remember, internet fury is not real life. It's going to be okay. He again said, when you stop having a human connection with someone you disagree with, it becomes a lot easier to commit violence. He said, what we as a culture have to get back to is being able to have a reasonable agreement, being able to have reasonable agreement where violence is not an option. Now, again, to my young friends out there, you are inheriting a country where politics feels like rage. It feels like rage is the only option. But through those words, we have a reminder that we can choose a different path. Your generation has an opportunity to build a culture that is very different than what we are suffering through right now. Not by pretending differences don't matter, but by embracing our differences and having those hard conversations. I think we need more moral clarity right now. I hear all the time that words are violence. Words are not violence. Violence is violence. And there is one person responsible for what happened here. And that person is now in custody and will be charged soon and will be held accountable. And yet, all of us have an opportunity right now to do something different. I want to thank my fellow Utahns.
The governor, that's Utah Governor Spencer Cox, talking about how we have the opportunity to do different. Really coming down to and making the point that we have an opportunity, whether we want to continue to have our political disagreements met with the barrel of a gun, or do we get to back to a period of time where we can have political debate, where we can have political discourse without feeling like the only solution to the problem is to shoot and kill our political opposition. And so really this is going to be a problem for the left to have to answer. Now, Elon Musk posted a meme on his X account around 2:30 this morning. And it's really as accurate as you can get. It's showing, it's a four-panel picture here in the classroom. It says they're all Nazis sitting in front of a television. They're all Nazis at a concert with all of these left-wing musicians saying Republicans are all Nazis. And then finally, an individual with a rifle saying they're all Nazis. And that really is the question that Democrats are going to have to ask themselves. Hopefully they've been doing so over the last couple of days, but are going to have to ask themselves going forward. Do I think that those on the political left that spew this kind of nonsense are responsible for the killing of Charlie Kirk? No. I believe the person responsible is in custody. He is a 22-year-old person. Do I believe that? I'm not going to say there's blood on their hands. I'm not going to borrow some stupid leftist term. Are they responsible? No. Did they play a part? Absolutely they did. Did they play a part in the divide that exists in the American system right now? They absolutely did. With their rhetoric, with their phrases, with their words, they absolutely did. I'm not going to play this entire thing for you, but I caught this over the weekend. It's about a 6-minute clip of media over the last couple of years talking about people like Donald Trump, people like Charlie Kirk, and people like you and me that want a safe and secure America. People like you and me that believe that America is the greatest governmental experiment that has ever existed. And this is what the media, this is what Democrats think about you, and this is what they think about me. Just a couple of minutes.
We have to start calling his supporters racist as well. That MAGA symbol has come to represent something. It is the new Nazi symbol. It is the new hood.
Because they're not a party. right? They're Sinn Féin to the IRA. They're the PLO to Hamas. They're a dime store front for a terrorist movement.
The Republican Party is basically a domestic terrorist cell at this point, and they should be treated as such.
There are elements of the GOP that are starting to look like the jihadists.
Not a political party. They're a white nationalist movement. They're a fascist threat to our nation. That's not hyperbolic. That's academic.
Would have once seemed hyperbolic, but it increasingly does feel like the Republican Party has become a death cult, and it's all about Donald Trump.
There is no alternative right now because the Republican Party project today is a fascist authoritarian project.
Fact is, Republicans in Congress are still in the grip of the ultra MAGA agenda.
Party of dupes, party of knuckleheads, party of weirdos, party of freaks. That is a simple, simple message. And underneath that, it's the party of nothing.
It has become an authoritarian embracing cult. It is fascist.
We take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with their allies in the Congress of the United States.
Trump's modern day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets. They're in unmarked vans, wearing masks, being shipped off to foreign torture dungeons. No chance to mount a defense, not even a chance to kiss a loved one goodbye, just grabbed up by masked agents, shoved into those vans, and
The old films of the Gestapo grabbing people off the streets of Poland, and you compare them to those nondescript thugs who grabbed that graduate student, it does look like a Gestapo operation. You know, my dad served in Second World War. He fought the Nazis in Northern Africa. He fought the Nazis on the Italian peninsula. And I think he's looking down right now and he's happy that I'm fighting today's Nazis.
Because if we just roll this clock on the wall back 75 years, we'd be looking at a time in Nazi Germany where people ran around with signs like this new ICE sign that says, "Report all foreign invaders to ICE," with Uncle Sam there holding up the sign. This could have been a Gestapo member 75 years ago. Report all Jews.
It's not just that Donald Trump poses a threat to democracy. It's that Donald Trump only cares about himself. This is a populist looking to serve his own interests and harm other people and dismantle our democracy and make it just about himself. This is a guy who's doing it on behalf of Putin.
Do you think Trump cares about any of his supporters?
I think he's only ever cared about himself.
He's still a greasy pig.
He's still a greasy pig.
He said that a hallmark of strongmen leaders is they don't care about their followers. Loathes Donald Trump. Things like a lunatic and a criminal, someone corrupt who's bankrupt. People. That the goal for all of us to save our republic has to be to keep Donald Trump far away, make sure he never gets anywhere near the Oval Office again.
So there you go. You don't need to listen to the other 3 or 4 minutes of it. It's the same thing. Over and over again, talking head after talking head, pundit after pundit, elected official after elected official, all making the same quotes, all making the same comments. Donald Trump, the MAGA movement of which Charlie Kirk was not only a part of, but a large part of, one of the major leaders in that movement with his political organization, Turning Point USA. According to those on the left, just backing it up with receipts, folks, you are a member of the Gestapo, you are a racist, you are a Nazi, you are a fascist, you are an authoritarian. So before I take any commentary or any quote from those on the political left who are doing everything in their power to try and distance themselves from their own words, doing everything in their power to try and surge to the media and claim, oh, we don't condone this kind of violence. We don't condone people getting shot and killed because of their political ideology. You have to ask yourself and critically ask yourself, do they actually believe that? And unfortunately, as I sit here this morning, I do not believe them. As I sit here this morning, no, I don't believe them. I believe that they are taking advantage of a situation, which is, of course, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and they are trying to distance themselves from their own dangerous, out of control, ridiculous rhetoric, which radicalizes people to the point where they believe they are justified in killing their political opposition. I'm talking about mainstream media, and I'm talking about elected Democrats. The Chuck Schumers talking about releasing the whirlwind of hell on people like Brett Kavanaugh, who just happened to have the audacity to become a Supreme Court justice, only for then months later, an individual to show up outside of Kavanaugh's house in Washington, D.C. with a gun. I'm talking about the Maxine Waters of the world, who encourages her base, encourages Democrats to get in the face of Donald Trump and his allies, harass them. Whether you've heard her stupid quote before, whether they're at dinner, they're at the gas, they're getting gas, they're out shopping, get in their face. That's the rhetoric from the left. They're not going to be, I'm not going to let them run away from that rhetoric by releasing a joint statement with a Republican group and say, oh, we absolutely stand against political violence. Bullshit. You don't. You don't call your political opposition fascists, Nazis, authoritarians, dictators, and then be able to brush your hands clean by saying, we don't support, we don't condone political violence. You don't get to do that. For the better part of a decade now, the media, higher education, hell, even the K through 12 public school systems have been indoctrinating individuals into the belief, into the thought that folks on the right are an existential threat to the existence of the United States of America. How many times have you heard threat to democracy? If I had a penny for every single time some just ridiculously stupid comment was made by those on the left about Donald Trump being a threat to democracy, I'd be a billionaire. I'd be flying around in my private Learjet. That's all they've said for a decade. He's a threat to democracy. Anybody that supports him, threat to democracy. He's a fascist. He's an authoritarian. He's a dictator. He's a racist. He's a Nazi. Over and over and over again. You don't get to wash your hands clean of that by releasing a statement. You need to change your rhetoric. You need to change the things that you say. I talked about this on Friday, but I'll restate it again because it's important. You're allowed, and you should be allowed, and you are allowed to be critical of your opposition. You're allowed to voice your displeasure with what the opposite political party is doing. You're allowed to be critical, hypercritical, extremely critical of your political opposition. That's fair game. We live in the United States of America. We live in a democratic republic where every 2 or 4 years, depending on the election cycle, hundreds of millions of people go out and vote. You're allowed to be critical. You're allowed to voice your opposition. But when you spend 10 years equating 70, 80, 90, 100 million people to those of the rise of Nazis in Germany, I think you've taken a step too far. There needs to be some serious inward reflection from those on the political left. There needs to be some serious inward reflection for those in the media that even literally while Charlie Kirk was bleeding out on stage are on MSNBC saying, well, you know, guy said some pretty controversial stuff, so I guess kind of should expect that. I mean, that's literally as he is being killed, saying those comments, not on fringe outlets, folks. This is another point that needs to be understated. We're not talking about fringe elements of the Democrat Party. We are talking about the radicalization of the mainstream. We're not talking about random people on Instagram or TikTok or X or Facebook making ridiculously absurd comments. We are talking about people going on MSNBC, people going on CNN, people going on ABC, NBC, CBS, and making these comments. This isn't fringe media. This isn't some jackass sitting in his mother's basement doing a podcast. This is on national television in front of hundreds of thousands of people. It's not fringe. This is mainstream now for the Democrats and the Democrat Party. And so if you want me to give you any sort of credit or put any sort of stock into your comments of we don't condone political violence and we need to ratchet down the pressure, the commentary from the Utah governor about coming together and being able to have discussion, it starts on the left. It starts with those in the media, whether it's print, television, radio, wherever. It starts with them. And it starts with the things that they say. You know, now Democrats are saying, oh, well, nobody should have to fear about making comments publicly. What do you mean? We should have to fear making comments publicly. We should. We have good reason to. There's a risk that we're going to get shot and killed for voicing our opinion. There's a risk that we're going to get shot and killed for having the audacity to profess our political beliefs. There's a risk and fear that if we express our political opinion, you on the political left are going to come after us and ruin our lives. You're going to call us a racist. You're going to call us a bigot. You're going to go to our employers. You're going to ruin our life. There is a risk. This starts with one group and one group only. Radical progressive left that has taken hold of the mainstream. It is no longer fringe folks on the left that are saying this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. It is absolutely mainstream at this point in time. And you've even got, even amazingly, even just in the last 24 hours, you've got people that are those on the political left coming out and saying the most ridiculous things you can imagine. Here's a Democrat senator from Connecticut posting on X yesterday. Pay attention, something dark might be coming. The murder of Charlie Kirk could have united Americans to confront political violence. Instead, Trump and his anti-democratic radicals look to be readying a campaign to destroy dissent. This was yesterday from Chris Murphy, the senator out of Connecticut. And I'm supposed to believe that this isn't mainstream? I'm supposed to believe that this is not a common thought in the Democrat Party? This isn't just some random person on Twitter, folks. This is an elected member of the United States Senate being incapable of any sort of inward self-reflection on his actions, his party's actions, that have led to people believing that it is okay to assassinate their political opposition. It's a very, very serious problem that the left has to grapple with. So no, I'm not reading your joint statement with Republicans. I'm not reading your articles at NPR, at PBS, at MSNBC, at NBC News. I'm not reading your articles about what we need to do to tone down political violence. I don't care. You don't get to tell me, you don't get to tell us how we tone down political violence. Take a freaking look in the mirror. It's your rhetoric. It's your dehumanization that has led to people believing that the only solution to saving our country, because it's we're an existential threat, remember? The only solution to saving America long term, the country in which you live, the country in which you live your life, the only way to do that is to kill your political opposition. So Democrats, what are you guys going to do in response to this? That's the big question this morning. Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, spoke on Friday night, making some statements from the studio of the Charlie Kirk Show, which, by the way, Vice President J.D. Vance will be hosting his three-hour radio show today. Very emotional, heart-wrenching commentary from her. I will play it. It's important to listen to. It's tough to listen to, I'll admit. But it's important to listen to. We'll get into that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Before that, the only way this show is possible is thanks to our great folks that support us over at patreon.com/Nick Craig and Melissa Gott and her team over at The Law Group. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in The Law Group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, for the last 22 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, The Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Located in downtown Wilmington, they're just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate The Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. Quick disclaimer, if you're somebody that does not want to hear, and I'm not blaming you for it, but if emotionally, if you're just not prepared and don't want to listen to Erica Kirk's commentary, tune out of the rest of today's show. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you being here. It's a tough listen. It's a tough watch. It's incredibly emotional, as you would imagine. And hopefully you'll join us tomorrow morning. So just quick disclaimer on that. Friday night, in what can only be described as an incredibly courageous action, Charlie Kirk's now widow took to a podium in the studio where Charlie Kirk hosted his nationally syndicated, his very popular radio show and podcast each and every day to address the horrific political assassination of her husband earlier in the week.
Good evening. My name is Erica Kirk. Charlie Kirk is my husband. I first want to thank the local, state, and federal law enforcement who worked tirelessly to capture my husband's assassin so that he can be brought to justice. I want to thank the first responders who struggled heroically, to save Charles's life, and the police who acted bravely to make sure that there were no other victims on that terrible afternoon. I want to thank the officers who have protected our Turning Point USA family these past 2 days. And I want to thank the Turning Point USA board, the COO, Justin Strife, and my husband's chief of staff, the amazing Mikey McCoy, for all their work in these terrible days to be the stability for our family and for the wider Turning Point USA family as well. My heart is with every one of my husband's employees who lost a friend and a mentor. I want to thank the staffers of this, his amazing Charlie Kirk show, who helped him broadcast from this studio, this chair. Every day he loved it. He loved what he did. I want to thank the millions of people who have shown their love for Charlie here in Phoenix, across America, and worldwide. I want to thank my husband's dear friend, Vice President Vance, and his phenomenal wife, Usha, for their love and support. You guys honored my husband so well, bringing him home. Both are tremendous. I want to thank President Trump and his incredible family for the same. Mr. President, my husband loved you. And he knew that you loved him too. He did. Your friendship was amazing. You supported him so well, as did he for you. 2 days ago, my husband, Charlie, went to see the face of his Savior and his God. Charlie always said that when he was gone, he wanted to be remembered for his courage and for his faith. And one of the final conversations that he had on this earth, my husband witnessed for his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now and for all eternity, he will stand at his Savior's side, wearing the glorious crown of a martyr. Charlie loved life. He loved his life. He loved America. He loved nature, which helped him always bring him closer to God. He loved the Chicago Cubs. And my goodness, did he love the Oregon Ducks. He'd want me to say go Ducks, so I have to since they play on Saturday. So go Ducks. But most of all, Charlie loved his children, and he loved me with all of his heart, and I knew that. Every day I knew that. He made sure I knew that every day. Every day he would ask me, how can I serve you better? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better father? Every day. Every day. He was such a good man. He still is a good man. He was the perfect father. He was the perfect husband. Charlie always believed that God's design for marriage and the family was absolutely amazing, and it is. It is, and it was the greatest joy of his life. And over, he would tell all these young people to come and find their future spouse, become wives and husbands and parents. And the reason why is because he wanted you all to experience what he had and still has. He wanted everyone to bring heaven into this earth through love and joy that comes from raising a family. It's beautiful. Charlie always said that if he ever ran for office, I know a lot of you asked if he ever was going to, but privately he told me, if he ever did run for office, that his top priority would be to revive the American family. That was his priority. One of Charlie's favorite Bible verses was Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. My husband laid down his life for me, for our nation, for our children. He showed the ultimate and true covenantal love. I will never, ever have the words to describe the loss that I feel in my heart. I honestly have no idea what any of this means. I know that God does, but I don't. But Charlie, baby, I know you do too. I know you do. So does our Lord. And our world is filled with evil. But our God, you guys, our God is so good. He's so incredibly good. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Already I have seen the worldwide outpouring of love for my husband. I've heard the testimonies from people my husband inspired to get married, to start families, to seek out a relationship with God. It's the most important one of all. The evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they have done. They killed Charlie because he preached a message of patriotism, faith, and of God's merciful love. they should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you just have unleashed across this entire country and this world. You have no idea. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife. The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry. To everyone listening tonight across America, the movement my husband built will not die. It won't. I refuse to let that happen. It will not die. All of us will refuse to let that happen. No one will ever forget my husband's name, and I will make sure of it. It will become stronger, bolder, louder, and greater than ever. My husband's mission will not end, not even for a moment. And one of Charlie's greatest talents was his ability, this phenomenal ability to choose great people to follow him. He could always find the ones who could handle any setback. And it's almost like he knew. He could see it in you. Even when you couldn't see it in yourself, he just knew. He knew you could handle it. You thought you only had 5% left, and he knew you had 15. He knew you were ready to go that extra mile even when you didn't. He always challenged people around him to work harder and to be better. He never gave up. And I love knowing that one of his mottos was never surrender. So I want to tell you that we'll never surrender. We never will. Ever. Ever. Our campus tour this fall will continue. There will be even more tours in the years to come. America Fest here in Phoenix this December will go on. It will be greater than ever. The radio and podcast show that he was so proud of will go on. And in a world filled with chaos, doubt, and uncertainty, my husband's voice will remain. And it will ring out louder and more clearly than ever. And his wisdom will endure. My husband's favorite word in the English language was earn. He would call all of you to be people of action who earn the future America deserves. So to all of the young people who felt inspired by my husband's faith and hard work, all of you already know what Charlie would want you to do. You know. You know. If you're in high school or if you're in college, go find your local Turning Point USA chapter. Join it. Stay involved. He wants you to make a difference. And you can. You can. The movement's not going anywhere, and it will only grow stronger when you join it. If there isn't a chapter, you can't find one, then start one. There is no excuse. You can start one. And as my husband used to say in this room every single day, if you want to get involved, the best way you can do that is going to tpusa.com. That's what he would say every day from this chair. Every single day. I watched his show every day, and he would always say, if you want to get involved, go to tpusa.com. If you're a pastor, join our movement at TPUSA Faith. And if you're a parent, I highly recommend that you come to America Fest in December. Sign up right now for that, because we would love to see you. I would love to see you. Charlie would. He'll be there. He'll be there in spirit. Bring your kids, bring your family. But most important of all, if you aren't a member of a church, I beg you to join one. A Bible-believing church. Our battle is not simply a political one. Above all, it is spiritual. It is spiritual. The spiritual warfare is palpable. Charlie loved his Savior with all of his heart, and he wanted every one of you to know him too. He wanted everyone to know that if they confess the Lord Jesus Christ who rose from the dead, then they will be saved. Hear me when I say this. Nobody is ever too young to know the gospel. Nobody. Nobody is ever too young to get involved with saving this beautiful country. This country my husband loved and still loves. And nobody is ever too old either. There's no age limit. I know my husband is still here. He's watching over us. I don't remember the last time I slept. I couldn't sleep last night. And Charlie, baby. Charlie, I promise I will never let your legacy die, baby. I won't. I promise I'll make Turning Point USA the biggest thing that this nation has ever seen. I promise. Charlie, I love you. I love you, baby. Rest in the arms of our Lord as he blankets you with the words I know your heart always strived to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. When I got home last night, Gigi, our daughter, just ran into my arms. And I talked to her and she said, Mommy, I missed you. I said, I miss you too, baby. She goes, Where's Daddy? What do you tell a 3-year-old? She's 3. I said, baby, Daddy loves you so much. Don't you worry. He's on a work trip with Jesus, so he can afford your blueberry budget. And my goodness, am I so humbled to witness, Charlie, you alongside Jesus right now, doing what you always want to do, baby. Making heaven crowded, right? That's what it's all about. Making heaven crowded. I can't wait to see you again one day. Thank you all again who loved my husband, who supported him, who wrote him an email every single day during his radio show. He read all of them. All of them. God bless you all. And may God bless America.
The very emotional and heartfelt words of Erica Kirk, Charlie's wife, now widowed. And I'll end the show the way that I opened it. We are not the same. No calls for violence. No calls for retribution. No calls to take to the streets and burn down your local city. No calls to attack law enforcement. None of that. Turning to faith. Turning to the church. And turning to action to save and protect our country. Charlie Kirk, a massive political icon, assassinated in a politically targeted attack. No violence, no looting, no rioting, no burning of buildings, none of it. We are not the same. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We will do it again tomorrow, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course, 24/7. Wherever you get your podcast. Thanks to our good friends over at The Law Group that make this possible each and every weekday morning. Lawgroupnc.com is their website. We'll see you coming up tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.